And we're talking about the one body of Christ, or in our church, our relationship, and how we deal with one another. How great is it to come into one house of fellow believers? People that we're going to have friendship with, that support each other, especially during these crazy and uncertain times. I mean, when you stop and you look around, how blessed are we? When you see the friends you have, when something bad happens in life. This week, my foster brother passed away. And when I looked at and looked at his life, as you know, he's had a pretty rough go of it. But then I stopped and I really examined how blessed he was and how God used other people who are willing to spend their time. My foster brother, he was born in a family. They didn't have a whole lot, and the kids probably weren't treated the best. Because of it, the family gave the kids up to foster care. There was a foster home that functioned out of Kinston, North Carolina, named Kennedy Home. It was the Baptist Children's Home. When my parents, when they become more active in church, they decided, hey, there's a burden. Kids need help. They need positive role models. So my parents enlisted in the foster care program, and sequentially to that, we ended up getting three children. At that point, their life changed. Why did it change? Is it that one family's better than another? Or is it the love and the fellowship? But that only comes through one thing, and that's through God. When we allow God to come into our hearts, it changes. I told y'all last week on how God changed me. How awesome is it? But sometimes God's got to, you know, let you go your way, and like a loving parent, you know, once you bruise your knee, He dusts you off and puts you on the proper path, or He sends people to help. There was a joke that was going around. There was this gentleman in Louisiana during Katrina, and he had prayed, you know, the flood's coming. You know, God help me. Water started rising high in his house. This old farmer come along with a four-wheel drive truck and told him, hey, jump in the truck. You know, I'll carry you to safety. Nope, God's going to provide. The water got a little higher until now it's over the windows and he's having to swim. And all of a sudden, this disaster assistant pulled up in a boat. Crawl in, I'll carry you to safety. Nope, God's going to provide. Well, now the water is up to the roof. A Coast Guard helicopter flies in and lowers a rope. Jump on, I'll carry you to safety. And the guy goes, nope, God's going to provide. Well, eventually, the guy drowned. And he gets to heaven, and he's looking at God, and he's going, look, why didn't you help me? God goes, what do you mean? I sent three people. So many times in our lives, we're sent people. But how many of y'all are people that God sent? When you stop and you think, Miss Cartwright, when I was talking to you about Mr. Cartwright, how many people knew about him being Candyman? When you had daycare coming and seeing the kids and giving out candy. Now, how many days ago was that? It was a bunch. But there was one gentleman that remembered Mr. Cartwright. Every time he come in, they got a piece of candy. If they were good, they remembered him. How much have you impacted someone's life just by being kind, just by being generous? It is contagious. And I don't care how bad the world gets, how upside down, how stupid anything becomes, good will always triumph. So guess what? We can start an epidemic of our own. But before we do, we have to learn how to love ourselves, our family, not just at my house, but also in this church. We've all had bad days. We've all had bumps and bruises. But how does it feel when you come to somewhere where people love and care for you? Even when you're scared and you get that hug, you may not know it. How reassuring is that? To me, it's awesome. I mean, I've seen some pretty horrific things in life. Things that I wish I could forget. But how easy can we change? So if we want change in our church and we want change in our lives, we've got to learn how to treat each other. And that's what this lesson is on. Does everybody have their papers from last week? Did everybody get them filled out up to where we're at? Okay, if not, let me know. And Nurse Bruce told me the slide I couldn't find last week, it was not there. So when we got the slide presentation, it was not there. So it just weren't me not... because it was forgetful thinking under... There we go. The unity of the whole body. We had talked about the uniqueness last week when we were finishing up, you know, with the little toe. Do what? Wonders of believers. Did I miss a page? Do what? Okay. Under wonders of believer, it should be uniqueness. And then after that, we're at the unity of the whole body. And if y'all need to fill in, just let me know. I can catch you up. And this is something, so while you're at home, you can do your own Bible study. And you can do your own self-reflection. Because how do we change? If we're not honest with ourselves, how can we be honest with anyone else? So we have to look. You know, every member of this church is important. You have no idea. I know a widow lady one time told me, said, I'm not important no more. You know, what can I do? I'm old. My husband has passed away. My kids are gone. What can I provide? I was like, well, you don't know it, but every day when you sing or when you do something, I said, you can look around you. It's contagious. And she's one of those widow ladies, every time she wanted to hug people. How comforting is that? I said, every time when my wife was having a bad day and she would come in church, she would see this person. I was like, you don't know how supporting you are. When you stop and you think, widow ladies, how big of an example are you? That you've held the line. That you've done what you were supposed to do. How often men or women in the church and end up having to bring their husbands? What happens if you didn't come into church? How many husbands would never come? How many husbands would never accept their roles and their responsibilities? When you stop and you think, you know, that's a major example. I mean, to hold that line, it's awesome when you stop and you think. Because it's a teamwork. When you look around, stop and think. Any major accomplishment in history, look at Neil Armstrong. Now, what did Neil Armstrong do? He went to the moon, didn't he? How many of us would love to go walk on the moon? You know, it would be pretty fun. But how did he get there? It was teamwork. That was thousands of hours of trials, tests. How quick do you think those scientists got on each other's nerves and just ready to go off? It can be pretty frustrating. But as a team, they come together. There was a common goal. In this church, if we understand there's a common goal that we're going to work together and we're going to bear each other's burdens, how awesome is that? That nothing you will face, you'll face alone. If we're true Christians, because you're going to know someone's going to help you. And when you look at church, how does it work? When you really break down our services, you have someone open up. You have Miss Kathy start with music. Sets the tone knowing, okay, it's time, you know, Roy, Jack, all of y'all stop talking, goofing off in the lobby. It's time to come in. Most time Mr. Jim starts singing to cover all the kids screaming and yelling as they're going to the class. There's someone orchestrating all that. Most of the time then you have the services begin with our announcements. Why is that important? It starts everything off. So it's awesome the way it is. But with one person missing, how out of whack is everything? So you're important here. It means everything. But before that, there's people cleaning. How many times have y'all gone into a bathroom and it's dirty? There's someone that takes care of that. How about the lobby? How about the hallway? How about the trash? That all goes on. This whole church stays alive all week. It just doesn't open up on Wednesday night and Sundays. During the week, there's so many people going on behind the scenes doing so much. And it takes it for it to survive. Open up your Bibles, good. John chapter 13, verse 35. Why do people come into church and work so hard? It's because they get paid good, right? Why do they do it? Why would someone want to go into a restroom that stinks, is dirty? Why would they want to clean it for you? Why? How much love has to go in that? The sacrifice. I mean, that's pretty, when you look at it, it's pretty amazing that someone cares so much for you, how you feel in this church, they're willing to clean that restroom just for you. How about the prayer warriors? Our prayer chain. When something bad happens in your life, man, that prayer chain is fired off. How amazing is that? That there's someone, if you called for help, that they're praying just for you. That should make you feel awesome. The church as a whole, we depend on each other. It says in John chapter 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have loved one another. When we work out love and we care, nothing feels better. It's so supporting. But why do we spend more time arguing, not getting along? Why? It's because we forgot who we serve. We serve a risen Lord. Right now, there are so many people in this country going crazy. Oh, so-and-so won presidency, so-and-so won this seat, that seat. What did our God do to King Nebuchadnezzar? What? When you look at it, God can work awesome miracles. Nothing is outside of His control. He brought the dead back to life. He made the blind see, the lame walk. And you're worried about what politicians can do for you? It's our perspective on everything. How much did He love you? He loved you so much, He come to a horrible place and died for you. How much love is that? So how should we love each other? How much? It doesn't matter about color, race, religion, as long as it's for the God Almighty. We have too many titles. And when I mean religion, I'm talking about as long as you are a Bible believer. We put too much emphasis, you know, on other roles and names. How about our responsibility to the body? What's the responsibility? In the church, what's each of your responsibility? How about in our homes? If I look at my wife, if she always agrees with me, how far is our family going to go? How far? Not far. If I go, where are we going to eat? And she goes, I don't know. And I go, I don't know. Who's going to cook? How are we going to fix something? Where are we going to go out to? Huh? McDonald's. But we're not going to know what to order, are we? If you don't believe me, ask Uncle Charles or Miss Shirley after church. We all try and go out to eat together, and we're looking at each other, and we're going, where are we going to go? I don't know. Where are you going? I don't know. I don't know. That's why we need Miss Lou here. Miss Lou can tell you real quick, we're going, you come with us. Am I wrong, Miss Gail? And she can get everybody wound up or rounded up, and we're going out to eat. But what it takes two. Does my wife see things the same way I do? No. Does Miss Sharon and Mr. Bobby see things exactly? No. So it takes two. What was that, Miss Sharon? He better? But it takes two. There are some times that as husbands, we give in. There's times, wives, y'all give in. It's a give and take. It keeps the canoe going straight and going forward. If we paddled on the same side, we'd just stay in a circle and we would never get anywhere. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in bond and peace. Growing up with foster brothers and sisters, we didn't see eye to eye. There was a lot of fighting going on. There was a lot of disagreement. But that was with the kids. But why did we fight? Most time we were too much alike and no one would give. And being I was to run the family, I got thrown in the toy box and all the kids sat on it. And when my dad come home, where's Alan? Don't know. I'm in the box kicking, screaming, let me out. I'm going to get, no you ain't. As long as we sat on this lid, you ain't doing nothing. But when you stop and you think, you know, we all have our uniqueness in carrying it out. What changes is when we decide our own selfishness, that I'm better. When that happens, how can you get ahead? If you have one person in the choir go, I can out-sing everybody. What happens, Brother Jim? Most time, no one's going to be on key. What happens if Miss Kathy says, hey, I don't like that song. I don't like how this sheet music is. I'm going to change it. And she doesn't tell nobody. What's going to happen? Chaos. What happens in the church If you're driving, Brother Jesse, if you're driving the van and all of a sudden the passengers want to go somewhere else, how well is that going to work out? And that does happen. You'll get kids going, are y'all feeding us tonight? No, we don't. Oh, I'm on the wrong bus. Yeah, and you're like, wait a minute. Yeah, it gets fairly unique on that. But we have the ability to help or hurt. When kids come in this church, what are they looking for? They're looking for hope. They're looking for kindness. What happens if they, as soon as they get off that bus, we don't show them that? What happens? They don't come back. What happens if they don't ever hear the word again? They stay lost. You don't know how much a loving smile means. How reassuring. After World War II, a group of German students volunteered to help rebuild an English cathedral that had been severely damaged by German bombs. As work progressed, they became concerned about a large statue of Jesus whose arms were outstretched and beneath which was the inscription, "Come unto me." They had particularly difficulty trying to restore the hands which had been completely destroyed. After much discussion, they decided to let the hands remain missing and change the inscription to, "Christ has no hands but ours." I mean, do you realize that you, working in the church, you're the hands of God? He works, sends you out to help. Why are we here? We're not here for us. Stop and look at Kids Crusade. That's a hectic time, isn't it, Mr. Al? It gets real frustrating. You can ask Miss Colvin. There's a lot of hours that are put in here. For what? How about our Christmas productions? How about our luncheons, our senior luncheons? How many of you enjoy that? And they just come together all on their own, right? No. There's a lot of work and effort. Ladies, how do y'all feel, you know, when y'all have the friends, secret sisters? How does it feel when all of a sudden you're having a bad day and you go home and here's a card? In the meantime, you're trying to find out, who's that secret sister? How does it make you feel? And then when you find out who it is and you're like, I had no idea who that lady was. I never knew she had my name. Why don't we always do that? So the next is the work of the believers. The work of the believers. In Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8, having then gifts gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. When you stop and think, what is your job? What do you think you're good at? I'm good at eating. So if you're cooking something, let me know. I can taste it. What are you good at? Should we all have the same gifts? What are some temporary gifts that God gave in the beginning? Especially in the Bible. Knowledge. When you stop and you think temporal gifts, temporary signs, why in the Bible, when you look at certain gifts, why did they occur? The healing, the speaking in tongues. What were they designed for? They validated the gospel. And this was during the apostolic age. When you stop and you think, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, it says, truly the signs of apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. And then 1 Corinthians 14:22, it says, wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. So why was it important for the speaking in tongues? Why can't we speak in tongues now? Why not? We don't need to. What was the purpose of speaking in tongues? For God's word to be what? Spread. We don't need it anymore. Why was it for unbelievers? What are we here for? What are we trying to spread to people? The gospel, God's word. So when we come to church, how do we learn? We got to first pay attention. We've got to learn to love each other. Be open. There's times I stumble all about. Trust me, I'm doing that today. And I do that a lot. But we learn from it. We grow from it. When you go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 through 4, it said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first beginning to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard? God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. When you stop and you think, a lot of these gifts, as we spoke before, they ceased once the written word of God came to completion. How about some permanent edifying gifts? When you stop and you think, what would some permanent gifts that we're given be? How about a gift of being a teacher? Miss Gail, can everybody control the widow ladies like you do? No. It gets very unique, doesn't it? Can everybody run the sound booth? There's a lot of times people look back there and they go, can they hear? I promise you, they're back there moving, wires are moving, people come back and change stuff, and they have no idea. Just last week, Miss Bruce looked down, where'd these knobs go? I mean, they're panicking, trying to get going. That's a lot to keep the computers going. How frustrating is it, Brother Jim, when y'all go sing, or the choir goes sing and the mics don't work? Or we have music, and we didn't give the sound booth the right CD. So now we're scrambling around. Not everybody has the same ability. There's some people that would just panic and come apart. How about going to teen camp? If you want to experience in life, go with the young kids to teen camp. I promise you, it is very unique. Or how about the little kids going to camp? You can see Mr. Jesse already grinning. It's different. Not everybody can deal with kids that way. There's a bunch of times I'd love just to put Velcro on the seat, strap them in a Velcro seat, and slam them in. Stay there. I remember one in particular used to come to this church. He was high strung. As soon as those doors opened, I couldn't even keep up with him. He was everywhere. But not everybody is meant for that. We all have different gifts. But who gave us those gifts? God. So why would we brag? Because did we earn those gifts? Did we make those gifts? No, God gave them to us. And we should be appreciative for it. We should thank Him. Not, hey, I'm better than you. I mean, it changes. When you stop and you think, who's on the throne? The work of gracious service. We can break the gifts down into two categories. It's gifts of education and gifts of edification. The gifts for educating the people, prophecy. The gift of prophecy focuses on discernment and insight, knowing right from wrong. Then the gift of teaching. You know, there was a story in the book that says little Tommy loved attending first grade Sunday school. His teacher, Miss Smith, told great Bible stories, and she would always end the Bible story saying, "And boys and girls, the moral of this story is," little Tommy enjoyed learning about the morals of each Bible story. But when Tommy entered second grade, he moved up to another Sunday school class taught by Miss Jones. She told Bible stories too, but her stories ended differently. They did not conclude with a moral. After some time, Tommy's mommy asked him how he liked this new Sunday school teacher. Tommy said, "Miss Jones is okay. The only problem is that she doesn't have any morals." You know, every teacher has a different way. I mean, we're not all the same. Can everybody be an encourager? Everybody can, but does we need to show it? Again, I go back, I'll pick on Bro Jim. I even asked Miss Kathy, is he always this happy? Yeah. And he is. Not everybody can see the brighter side. We all get weighed down at times. But yet, he's like that movie, Finding Nemo. Just keep swimming, keep swimming. You keep going through it. But how awesome is that? Now, gifts for edifying the people. How about ministering? When you stop, how many people are willing to do whatever it takes just to get the job done? I used the example last week, you know, when we have a dinner and all, how many people are willing to cook you would be amazed. They're willing to eat and help in the beginning, but at the end, how many ladies are left? It's normally the same crew, isn't it? I mean, not everybody's set up. How about giving? We're all told to give, right? But there's some people that they give abundantly. And they enjoy it. How about ruling? Does everybody have the same gift of ruling? No. There are some really great rulers out there. And then there are some, I believe, they're a little bumpy. Not everybody was designed to be a ruler. How about mercy? Do all of us have the ability to, hey, I'm sorry you were wrong, and do it in kindness? No. How often, you know, can we just forget when someone does something wrong? And go, hey, that's a mistake. They're human. And look past it. Not everybody can do that. How about, with a gracious spirit. Even though we all have different strengths and weaknesses, we can all understand that we're following God's commandments. And we do everything as loving and as caring as possible. But what changes us to be cynical or selfish? What makes us do that? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, it says, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. 1 John 3:18, it says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. How often have you had someone tell you, I love you, and then mistreat you? Real quick, what do you associate love with? Pain. That's what's wrong with this world. No one knows what love is. They have the wrong examples. They think love is an act. It's not. Romans chapter 12, 9 through 10 says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor preferring one another. What does dissimulation mean? In the beginning it says, let love be without dissimulation. What's dissimulation mean? Two-faced. Being a hypocrite. How often does that occur? We want to prefer one another. If we prefer one another, we enjoy seeing each other. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 4, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on things of others. If we all start learning to work together and helping each other, how great could you feel? How great could this church be? Look around at the empty pews sitting around. There's a lot of our friends not here, and we miss them. Have you even called them? Have you even sent them a letter? It's just like the lady said when, you know, they're having a bad day and they just open the mail and they get that one letter of kindness or that one gift. Watch the ladies when they pass back here where they most time leave your card. Every Sunday, what do all ladies do? They look for one of those cards, don't they? What would be amazing if we just started sending letters? I mean, we're ready to say how disgusted we are about the elections and people can't count, and I agree. But what would happen if we just sent a letter, hey, I love you. I support you. I may not agree with what you say, but I still love you. When you saw it gives encouragement. Brother Charles handed out a sheet, a spiritual gift test. What's your spiritual gifts? I challenge you to take it. Be truthful with yourself. You don't have to show it with anyone else if you don't want to. But what do you think your gifts are? Really uniquely, I really like staying by myself. I'm an introvert. You can ask Stacy at night, she goes, well, what do you want to do? I'd rather stay home. I'd rather go piddle in the woodshed. And she's like, you don't want to go out? No. Nope, I'm happy right here. And it's weird because this showed it. But take time to reflect on it. When you realize that you may have a spiritual gift, what should you do with it? You should use it, right? Because what happens if you don't use the gift that God gave you? You lose it. And what happens if that gift was designed like what Miss Trish said for that one person? You were one of those three people sent to that flood victim. What happens if you don't go? What happens when you don't take that step of faith? Think about that this week. As you go through it, take the test, examine yourself. And I challenge you, let's change. Let's start loving each other and caring for each other. It can be an awesome event. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've just provided, dear Heavenly Father. And we just allow our hearts to be a clean, useful vessel in your ministry. Just put a hedge of protection around this church, the sanctuary, that Satan may not enter in, tempt, or toss. Also, dear Heavenly Father, as we think about how this world has become, so many people have forgot what the true love of Christ is, dear Heavenly Father. Just please allow it just to flow through us that we could be examples for others to see. And dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being a loving, caring God and still on the throne, that no matter what happens, everything is in your will and in your way, dear Heavenly Father. There's nothing that should surprise or scare us. Just please give us sound minds, dear Heavenly Father, as we traverse until you return again. Thank you for everything you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.